and it was nice to spend time with the children. They do make a noise, don't they? They're good though. Lovely. You know, it was quite amazing. Yesterday we were giving out some Christmas leaflets in one of the large estates in Ayr, and I was wandering around myself, popping in the tracks, and I was thinking about this morning with today with the children, and I was wondering, I wonder if I should tell them that wee story about Andrew Carnegie, and I'm pondering it like Mary did, pondering it in my heart. And you wouldn't believe it, the first house I came to after I was thinking about this had the name on the door plaque, Carnegie's. I said, well, there you go. Quite amazing. I don't think I've ever seen a name on the door with Carnegie on it, but there it was. So we thought, just a wee thought. And it's a lovely, lovely sort of concept, isn't it? The young Carnegie, as he wanted just to get in there and enjoy the great things that were beyond the gate, that were beyond his control and reach. And yet through the beneficence of this young guy who grew up to be a very, very rich person, it was all opened up to the folks of Dunfermline and beyond. So like our great God in his wonderful grace and mercy, it's all open for us. I want just this morning, or this afternoon rather, just for a few minutes to look at just two or three of the verses in Luke chapter 2. This time of the year, we really do start to think about Christmas, and it was important, as we're hearing in prayer there, just to kind of focus on the important things and the real things of Christmas. So let's look at two or three verses out of the Luke's Gospel chapter 2, the story of the shepherds. And perhaps we'll read the bulk of the story, but our thoughts are going to just go around two or three of the verses. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Verse 15. It came to pass, all this light and all this noise, it came to pass that when the angels went back again into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And we do trust that God will bless his work to us. If I was to ask you, how would you break up the whole of the concept of time, you know, from the beginning of the world to the end of the world, how would you break it up? Well, if you were a geologist, you would say, oh, it would be the certain years there and the Stone Age and so, and you would break it up like that. Or if perhaps you were a historian, you might say, well, we have the Stone Age, and we have the Iron Age, and we have the Bronze Age, and you might break it up like that. And if you were a Christian, how would you break it up? Well, I once heard someone say very briefly, and I've never forgotten it, and I thought it's very good. He says, for a Christian, the simplest way to break it up is this. and we'll have it in our Bibles. From Genesis chapter 2, right through to the end of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, we have the wonderful promise of this, that Jesus was coming. That's what these books tell us all about. Jesus was coming. We'll go back to the Garden of Eden and we'll remember how sin came in, and Paul reminds us in his letters, he says, by one man's disobedience, sin entered the world, and death by sin. But you know, in Genesis chapter 2 and 3, we have sin coming in, we have Satan coming in, and those who don't believe in Satan today, well, you look at the world in which we live, and you tell me how else we can explain the kind of world we're living in. But you know, there's a wonderful thing took place in Genesis chapter 3, and God came and he saw the sin of the world. And not only did he see that, but he saw the need of the world. And I don't think it's stretching the imagination too far to think that when God came down and saw the need, that before Adam and Eve, and indeed perhaps the serpent, he took an animal of his creation. And that animal was slaughtered before Adam and Eve, and their blood fell to the ground. And God took the skin of that animal and made coats for Adam and Eve. Isn't that amazing? What grace, what love, that men and women might be brought back. Here was the way the animal was slain. And then God made a promise. And he comes to the serpent and he says, the seed of the woman, that's Jesus, he hadn't come, the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. And you, he said to the serpent, shall bruise his heel. We're going to think about that as we close this shortly. But there, away back in the third page of our Bible, God made a promise, Jesus was coming. And as we go through Exodus, and all through the books, and through the prophets, Isaiah, Micah, all these Old Testament prophets, they're pointing forward, and they're telling us, Jesus was coming. And then we come to Matthew chapter 1. And the wonderful truth then is, Jesus came. And we come to Acts chapter 1, and we learn there that Jesus went back to heaven, and he gave a promise. And his promise firstly was to his disciples, then to his own. And he said this, if I go, I will come again. And you remember how the Lord Jesus went to Calvary's cross. And you remember how he was crucified. You remember how Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, how they begged his body and they wrapped it ever so tenderly and gently and placed it in a new tomb. And you remember that Jesus made the promise when he was living that you destroy this body and in 3 days I'll rise again. And you remember on that third day that Jesus Christ arose. And he appeared to so many before he went back to heaven. But then on that 40th day, you remember as he goes outside to the Mount of Olives, he's with his followers, with his disciples, and he's speaking to them and he's blessing them. His hands are raised in blessing, and as they look on him, he rises and he disappears into the heavens. The Bible tells us he's at God's right hand. But the interesting thing was, these angels came back again, or this angel came back, and they said to these awestruck people as they looked, ye men of Galilee, why do you stand there gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus whom you see go into heaven shall in like manner come back again. So there's the whole of human history embraced in three lovely thoughts. Jesus was coming. Jesus came. And Jesus is coming again. that wonderful? He's the Alpha and the Omega. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, he's coming again, and when he comes again, he's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, we're going to look at two or three verses that tell us about the fact that Jesus came. The prophets, they fulfilled that he was coming. This was what the people on these days looked forward to. This prophet, the Messiah, he was coming. Jesus was coming. But then Matthew 1, he came. God visited this earth. And the amazing thing was, in Luke chapter 2, as we've been thinking about, Matthew reminds us of the wise men, doesn't it? But Luke brings us to the shepherds. And I love to think about the shepherds. And at the end of Luke chapter 2, in verse 7, we learn this, that Mary brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in a manger. The Lord of life and glory is born and placed in a manger. I know you mothers and you grannies, you kind of feel the heart tugs, don't you, when you think of a baby. Wee baby lying in a manger. Just seems like yesterday my wee grandson's three, a fortnight ago there. And I remember so clearly when they went away through to see him. And there he was lying in that sterile ward in Edinburgh. A wee day old baby. And I thought of the Saviour at that age, just lying in a manger. Wonderful, isn't it? That God visited this earth and we find the babe lying in a manger. The first thing that happened after we find the babe lying in the manger, because there was no room in the inn. How like today, is it? Be any time for Jesus? Room for Jesus? Room for business? Yep. But for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter. There's still, in so many hearts, no room. But the first thing we learn after we find the babe in the manger is we're taken to the outskirts of Jerusalem. The outskirts of Bethlehem. I remember when I went on a visit to Israel, to the Holy Land, as it's called, a few years back. We stayed in Jerusalem, and it was the middle of the summer, of course, it was boiling hot, and we went to our rooms, and the curtains were closed, keep the heat out, you know, and we hadn't a clue what we were going to be looking at, and I remember, we pulled back the curtains, and we stood there, and we got this view away over towards Bethlehem. The Judean hills, we talk about the hills of Judea. And away over there in the distance, I saw a shepherd. And he was just a shepherd that came right out of a Christmas postcard. You know, he's got his staff and he's sort of what we would almost call a dressing gown, you know, sort of. And he was just wandering aimlessly away in the distance with two or three straggly sheep coming behind him. And I looked at my wife and I said, "Lynn, I said, you just look at that. There's nothing changed in 2,000 years." That's what it would be like in Luke chapter 2. And here we have the shepherds. And they're watching over their flocks by night. They're doing what good shepherds should do. They were watching. Shepherds were humble folk. They weren't the elite of the land. In fact, they were almost, could we say it gently and tenderly, they were almost the dross of the land. Remember when Joseph brought Jacob and all the folks down to Egypt? Egypt, shepherds, give them a wee place away out the road. Shepherds, oh no, they weren't well thought of. And it was to the shepherds that God revealed his wonderful glory and good news. I sat down there beside her brother at the start of the meeting there, and I says to him, I'll sit beside you and that makes me feel important. And he says, "You needn't sit beside me because I'm no important." I says, "Well, I'll maybe go look for somebody else that's maybe more important than you." But you see the point? it was to unimportant people that God came and demonstrated the fact that his son had come. So you may be here today and you may feel unimportant, but it's to you that this wonderful message comes. So we're thinking about shepherds, and they're keeping watch over their sheep by night, and everything, it really was a silent night. Holy night. All is calm. Not a noise. Then all of a sudden, an angel appears. One angel. And this angel, he's surrounded with the glory of God, the brightness of the majesty of God. And the shepherds were terrified. The shepherds were terrified. And listen to what the angel came. And the angel came with, first of all, good news. They stilled their fears. He brought good news of great joy, and it was to all people. There's three very simple things you can remember as you go today. There was good news, and that good news entailed great joy, and it was for all people. But isn't it good that the first thing that the angel said was this, don't be afraid. Hard to put yourself in the shoes of these shepherds as this angel appears in this blazing light and the glory of God shone round about them. No wonder they were afraid. But the angel says, now here's the first thing about this great message I'm going to bring to you. It's going to calm your fears. Don't be afraid. That's the first thing. And as we're in God's presence today, His Spirit would say to us, don't be afraid. See, these three things, verse 10, 9, 10, and 11, and 12. We learn this. There's good news. There's great joy for all people. In verse 9, we learn this. There was shining glory. Glory that was revealed just to these simple, humble people. Just 2 or 3 miles down the road, in the palace in Jerusalem, sat a great king. And just beyond the palace in Jerusalem, in the temple, there was a high priest, very important person. It was to neither of these two places that God revealed his glory and his message. It was out there to humble shepherds. Isn't that lovely? So, there was shining glory. And then in verse 11, we learn this, that there was a Saviour who was given. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And then in verse 12, the angel says to the shepherds, now I'm going to give you a sign. We like to get signs. I almost took that as a wee sign yesterday when I saw the wee nameplate, Carnegie. Well, maybe that's what the Lord would have us tell the children tomorrow. Something about Andrew Carnegie. Here's the sign. And the angel says to the shepherds, you'll find this baby, and he's wrapped in swaddling clothes, strips of cloth. And apparently these were wrapped them like that to keep the limbs firm so they would grow straight and true. And you'll find that babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now there'd be maybe quite a number of babies in Jerusalem, because it was a common thing to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. That was how they did things. But he says, you'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Won't be many babies lying in a manger. No, no, that's not where you put newborn babies, is it? You keep them safe and warm and clean. But here was the Son of God, and he was born and laid in a manger. That's the sign. He'll be in swaddling clothes, and he's in a manger. That's the Saviour. If you find him, you've found the Saviour. Well, verse 11, we're reading three things, and we're going quickly now. We're thinking about the fact that God appeared to a humble people. It was to the shepherds. Are you important today, or do you feel yourself low and humble? Well, this is a message for you then. It's to humble people. And then the Lord Jesus, the angel says, this is going to be a special day. For unto you, you humble shepherds, today. Did you know that every today is a special day? Why would that be? Well, let me tell you this. God says this. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is God's day of salvation. So today is a very special time. It was special for the shepherds, that first day that the Saviour was born. But today is special for you, because that first day for the shepherds can perhaps be your first day with the Saviour. It's for you, and it's today. So take advantage of today. And then there's a divine Saviour, and his name is Christ the Lord. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Earlier on, Mary and Joseph have been told what to call the babe. You'll call his name Jesus. So they've called the baby Jesus, but here's the angel, and he says to the shepherds, you're going to go there. And they didn't say you'll go there and you'll find Jesus. He says you're going there and you'll find a Saviour. That's what Jesus means, isn't it? Jesus, Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Christ the Anointed One, the one promised from Genesis to Malachi, the Messiah. He's been born today in the city of David, and he's Christ, the one that God has promised through the ages, and he's the Lord. So there we have the full thing, the full title of the Saviour. He's Jesus in his humanity. He's in a manger, and he's going to save. He's Christ, he's the one, he's anointed by God, God's one and only, and God has sent him. And he's the Lord, he's over all. What a person. The Lord Jesus Christ. So, we come to verse 11 then. So we've got the humble people, the shepherds, the special day, it's today, and there's a divine Saviour, he's Christ the Lord. And we know him as Jesus. What was the outcome? Verse 14 tells us of this. After this announcement to the shepherds, there then comes the heavenly host. Many more, I don't know how many more, angelic beings and heavenly beings appeared. And there was this great song of praise in the heavens. And what did they sing? They sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill to all men. That was the outcome of the birth in the manger. It did two things. First of all, it caused glory in heaven. So at Christmas time, it's not just about the babe in the manger. When that babe was born, there was great joy and glory and exaltation in heaven. Glory to God in the highest. But then he says something's going to happen in earth. There's going to be peace and goodwill to all men. Well, that's what our Bible says. But in some of the other translations, you'll read it says this. It will bring peace and goodwill to men on whom God's favour rests. So who are those who are going to enjoy this peace and goodwill that can possibly come from the birth? It's those who, like the shepherds, are humble and simple enough to accept the message. Let me explain that, just before we close. In verse 15, the shepherds, when the skies are dark and quiet again, and they must have thought, what on earth has gone on? And they're saying, well, what did the angel say? And they talk to each other. Can you remember exactly what his words were? Yes, he said, today, in the city of David, there's a Saviour who's going to be born, and he's Christ the Lord. But he said more. What did he say? He said, you're going to get a sign, and if you really want to pursue this, this is a sign. There'll be a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And they look at each other, and then they say, let's go, and I love this. Every Christmas I think of this. Let's go even unto Bethlehem and see this great thing that's come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Let's go. Let's do something about this. And there's activity, and they go to Bethlehem. And I don't know what kind of search they had. I don't think it had been a great search. I'm sure the Lord would have took them. And there they come to the manger. And they look in the manger, and what do they see? They see a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, just as the sign was. And what is it? That's the sign that God's going to give you. That's the one. That's the Saviour. That's the Messiah. That's the Lord. He's come. And you've come to worship him. Called humble shepherds, let's go and worship him. Well, we would say today, we're not going to say, come on, let's go to Bethlehem. But we are in spirit. We're going to go to Bethlehem. And we're going to see this thing that's come to pass. God has come amongst. Emmanuel, God with us. And there's the sign, the baby wrapped in the swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. What did you say his name was? He's Jesus. What did you say? What did the angel say? He's a Saviour, and he's Christ the Lord. He doesn't deserve to be there. Son of God in a manger. But let me tell you this, just as we come to the close. I don't want you to say today, let's go to Bethlehem and get caught up with the babe that was lying in Bethlehem. I want you to say today, let's go even unto Calvary. Because that's why that babe was born, that he might go to Calvary. And there on the cross, as we were saying to the children, our sins were dealt with by the one who came to be the Saviour. And when we come to Calvary, if we come in the same spirit as the shepherds, humble and in the right frame of mind, wanting this problem of our sin to be dealt with, wanting to know something of the peace that comes through receiving Christ as our Saviour, peace and goodwill, wonderful gifts from God. And that's what happens when we come to the cross and we receive Jesus Christ as our Saviour. So let's, like the shepherds of old, we're not going to go to Bethlehem, but we're going to go to the end of his life. We're going to come to Calvary. And there we're just going to stand and say, Lord Jesus, you were born in a manger. You died on a cross. Your name is Jesus. I see above your cross, when he hung up on the cross, they wrote this name above him. That all might see the reason we forevermore must love him. What did it say? We love to sing of Christ our King and hail him, blessed Jesus. For there's no word you ever heard so dear, so sweet as Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This morning, I got a surprise because at the end of the meeting earlier, Jerry came to me and he gave me a card. And whilst I was having my Bramley apple tart, there was only four, maybe you didn't get one, but we got one. As I was enjoying my Bramley apple tart, I opened the card and it says, from Jerry, Merry Christmas, God bless. That's where I'd written. Isn't that lovely? Here it is. From God to you with his blessing. Receive him today and have a real Christmas. Father, we give thanks for your precious word. We thank you how thy word makes these great, unknowable things understandable to we who love you. We thank you for the coming of the Saviour. We thank you that he took upon him that name of Jesus. And we thank you that at the end of his life he had this name written above him, Jesus of Nazareth. But we thank you too that he rose from the dead, and the angel on that day on the slopes of the Mount of Olives would say to his people, this same Jesus shall come again. We thank you that Jesus was promised, and all the promises that were given were fulfilled as he was born on that first Christmas day. We thank you that Jesus came. We thank you that Jesus is coming again, and we pray that each one here, whether with the children in the side room or in here in the main hall today, that we might be ready for the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks for this Christmas gift, and we bring our worship and our praise and thanksgivings in our Saviour's name.